I'd like to encourage you to turn your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be doing a lot of reading there this morning, so if you have a marker, you may want to put one there, because most of our lesson this morning is coming from that book. I'm a little bit behind in my daily reading, so while I finished this a while back, it was certainly long after you finished it, so maybe some of this is fresh in your mind still from near the beginning of the year. But the encouragement that we can get from this book is tremendous, I believe. Nehemiah speaking in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, where we will begin, says, "And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work." Nehemiah had been a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes I, king of Persia, and asked him permission to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls. This was accomplished in just 52 days. During this time, they faced a great deal of opposition. What we want to examine this morning is some of the opposition that they failed, actually a good deal of the opposition that they faced, and how it is very similar, or how it can relate to the opposition that we face today. The first thing we want to look at is found in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Nehemiah and the people that were with him faced mockery from their enemies. Beginning with verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 4, "But it so happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heap of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if a fox goes up to it, he will break it down. He will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Here in the first few verses, we see Sanballat and Tobiah ridiculing the efforts of what they called these feeble Jews. The church, in like manner, is ridiculed today. How is it that these few people think they're the only ones that are going to be saved? God made everybody. God loves everybody. And so anybody that believes in God is going to be saved. These people think they're going to do a great work. That heaven is their eternal goal, and it could be any time. You know, if it's up to these few, we know that the world has to hear the gospel before Jesus comes again. The Bible tells us that. So how do these few think that they're going to preach to the whole world, not understanding what Paul told the Colossians, that it's already been the gospel of Christ has already been preached to the whole world. And so they scoff and they ridicule. Nehemiah's response was to keep on praying and to keep on working. Can we do any less? There's a great work for us to do. Yes, there's no doubt. There are a lot of people to be saved. There are billions who will be lost. We do have a great responsibility. But do we just sit back and do nothing as a result of that? No. We keep on praying and we keep on building. We keep on working. Nehemiah faced rubbish that made his work difficult. And you can imagine when Nebuchadnezzar's army had come in 70 years before this, 72 at this time, I believe, that they destroyed the city, which meant destroying the walls. And they didn't just conveniently take all that stuff and move it out of the way. They left it where it was, piles of rubbish everywhere from the walls and all the other things in the city. Nehemiah 4:10 says, and Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there's so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. There was rubbish everywhere. That first had to be moved before they could build the wall. And this took a great deal of the people's strength that were trying to build the wall. There was a lot of work that had to be done. It wasn't just like somebody backed up a load of bricks and men already had the foundation laid and all they had to do was take bricks and mortar and build a wall. There was a great deal more work that had to be done. Sanballat had already referred to this in verse 2 when he talked about the rubbish that was in their way. Maybe this had caused possibly a seed of doubt to Judah and some of the other people that were working on this. How does that relate to us? When we talk to people, it's not, for the most part, people who have never heard of the Bible before, people who have never known of Christ and what he's done for us. Very often, we have a responsibility to unteach people before we can teach them. They've come with some preconceived notion of one thing or another, and so we have to help them to understand the error of what they have believed in the past before we can teach them what is right. Sometimes this can be very wearying. Sometimes we're tempted to give up because it's just so difficult to try to unteach someone who has something set in their mind. But if that person is honestly seeking the truth, we need to continue to do the work of unteaching and teaching. It's not an easy thing to do. During this process, we cannot become discouraged and give up. We have to continue on. But this wasn't all that Nehemiah faced. We have a rather lengthy reading here, but I think it helps us to understand. Pardon me. From chapter 4, verses 7 through 23. The fact that Nehemiah faced the threat of violence. It happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. For we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time I also said to the people, let each man and his servants stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I nor my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. So these people were ready for the battle. When scorn and mockery failed, their enemies decided that they were going to use force. But Nehemiah kept on praying and building. Instead of putting down his tools, he took up arms. We're at a great warfare with the devil. Paul tells us that our implements of warfare are not physical, but they are spiritual. For us, what do? We don't drop our work. We don't stop our work. We don't drop the tools that we're using to build. Instead, we pick up the sword of God in order to answer the devil, in order to defeat the devil in our lives that would have us to be caused to stop working. We are well armed to answer when those who are following the devil try to defeat us, when they put a stumbling block in our way, or when they try to force us to stop doing good. We, like Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, need to be ready to answer with a thus saith the Lord. The only way we can do that is to be very familiar with the Word of God, to be very familiar with how to use this sword that we've been given, to defeat Satan in battle. But Nehemiah also faced internal division. Chapter 5, we're not going to read all of this, but parts of it. There was a great cry of the people and their wives against the Jewish brethren, for there were those who said, we, our sons, our daughters are many, therefore let us get grain that we may eat and live. There was also some who said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, houses, that we might buy grain because of the famine. There were also those who said, we have borrowed money from the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. What's the problem? The people, instead of giving to their brethren, were selling to their brethren. And at such exorbitant interest rates were they able to borrow to feed themselves that they had nothing left and still were in deep poverty with this great burden of repayment over them. Nehemiah uses the rest of this chapter to admonish the people, to tell them that what they have done is sin, that they need to not only relinquish the hold on these people's lands, but relinquish their hold on their children as servants, to give them what was needed to sustain life, that they were all children of God, that each of them had a responsibility to one another. And we find that this command of Nehemiah by the hand of the Lord was obeyed. And these people did the right thing. There was strife among the workers. As we can have seen from time to time within the church, the harm that can be done because of members fussing and fighting with one another, quarreling. The divisions that are caused when people want their own way rather than looking out for the good of their brother, the good of their sister. People who think themselves greater, think themselves having a better way, and who don't look out for the strength and the encouragement of their brothers and sisters. And in these things, divide churches, cause discontent, cause hatred, cause quarreling. In such an atmosphere, the church cannot grow. Nehemiah understood that the work would never be finished if the people didn't get along. No less in the church today. If we can't get along with our brothers and sisters, how can we get along with others? Nehemiah also faced temptation and compromise. In chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers, saying to them, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?" But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. His enemies now pretended that they wanted to be friends, but they wanted to kill him. There cannot be fellowship between good and evil. The forces of Satan and the forces of the Lord's church. We, Terry and I, are familiar with the situation in Green Bay, and I know this isn't the only place where people meet different congregations to try to bring people together into making one congregation of two smaller ones. But what's the trouble in most cases? Those who are not following God's word want those who are to compromise, to get along and be at peace with one another. While we do want peace among the brotherhood, it's not peace at any cost, but it is peace that comes by everyone being obedient to the law of God, to the law of Christ. So there cannot be fellowship just for the sake of fellowship between good and evil. Finally, in just a few minutes that we have, Nehemiah faced slander from his enemies. Verses 5 through 9. And Sanballat sent his servants to me as before, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, 'There is a king in Judah.' Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together." And I sent to them, saying, "No such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, 'Their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done.' Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Nehemiah's enemies informed on him, but not the things that he was doing, but those things that they accused him wrongfully of doing. Nehemiah simply denied the charges. We need to be the same way when we are falsely accused. We cannot be weakened in our work because of these things. We need to stand firm and continue with the work. Our life ought to be such that it can stand on its own merits against false charges. Despite all opposition, the people finished the walls in 52 days. The one underlying key for their success is found in chapter 4 and verse 6. They had a mind to work. What mind do you have in you this morning? Do you have a mind to do the work that Christ has given for us to do, that the Holy Spirit has inspired men to write for us to do? If not, now is the time to take courage in what God has done for us, to take courage in knowing that we are to faithfully perform the work that we're given to do, that we have the hope of heaven. If we can be of assistance to you in any way, encourage you in faithful service to God, would you let us know by coming forward?